You are listening to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Randall White in for Beth Ruyak today. The holidays present a seasonal challenge for our mental health and well-being. And while often depicted as the happiest of times, that narrative can actually drive those suffering the holiday blues deeper into depression. UC Davis Health Chief Wellness Officer Dr. Peter Yelilies says feeling blue this time of year is normal, but it is important to recognize when those feelings could be headed out of control. He joins us in studio now with tips to help you through the holidays. Welcome to Insight, Doctor.
Thank you very much indeed, Randall. It's really great to be here.
And we don't want to bring anyone down. This isn't a negative topic. You're here to help explain why there is a positive side on this.
Absolutely. I think it's very important. I mean, look, this is a great time of year. It's a time when most people are happy and families are getting back together and we're communicating with old friends. And for the majority of people, that's just really good. Unfortunately, if you're not in that situation, it can actually make any possible sort of either depression or anxiety that you have somewhat worse because everybody else is happy and you're not.
And through your research, are there key triggers in that area that tend to send people on a downward spiral this time of year?
I think the main triggers really, there's no doubt, you know, people have, you know, essentially anniversary reactions. You know, they remember bad times perhaps from previous, say, Christmases. You know, maybe this is the first Christmas when their mother hasn't been around because she died during the year. So there'll be a whole lot of memories of mom in the past and how things were different then and she's no longer here. So people get these anniversary reactions and get triggered to remember both good and bad things. Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, one of the messages for most people here is to try and keep positive, try and keep in the moment, and to not sort of dwell too much on the past.
And aside from depression, you also mentioned anxiety. And for some people, they might not see their family much throughout the year, but at Christmas time, they are expected to be in some of these family situations that might send anxiety levels skyrocketing as they're on the drive there.
I'm absolutely right. I mean, first of all, there's a whole series of topics it's probably better to avoid at Christmas at the over Christmas dinner, and we won't go into right, those in detail. But
yeah. Most people know what they are.
Yeah. A lot of obvious topics. But also, we all tend to have rather unrealistic expectations, and we somehow think that if we'd all just get together, it'll be fine. But in fact, you know, a certain person in the corner is still being a pain, and as they always have been. And so we don't want to be unrealistic about that. And I think it's very important to sort of set almost realistic goals for what you want to do or how you want to feel and what you want to get out of a certain set of family interactions.
What would give me a couple examples of realistic goals?
Well, you're not going to solve all the problems that a family's had over 20 years. I mean, maybe there's been some splits and some people have done things they shouldn't have done. You're not going to solve all that over one Christmas lunch. But you may be able to, in fact, start a relationship up again with a family member that you haven't spoken to very much over the years and then gradually work on that over the next year or so.
Doctor, you say that it is important to recognize the signs and symptoms of depression or anxiety. Walk us through how to do that.
So we all have mood swings. We all get anxious, and that's normal. And for most of us, those symptoms of feeling down, of feeling you know, like our heart is beating too fast, that we're possibly getting palpitations, getting short of breath, getting a bit afraid of going out, perhaps. All of those things are very short-lived. They typically last just a few hours. Something happens, we change track, and we're back in our normal selves again. And so that's the sort of thing that's pretty normal, sort of anxiety and depression. The concern that that mental health professionals have is when those sorts of symptoms persist and when people start getting into a pattern where, say, they're not sleeping well, they're unable to concentrate so well, they're constantly feeling down and tired and exhausted. Those are things those sorts of symptoms, you know, may be sort of the development of depression or an equivalent illness.
And are there certain things that could exacerbate the situation, like too much caffeine, for instance?
Absolutely. I mean, caffeine, we know, can make you anxious. A big one at this time of year is alcohol.
Right.
Cannabis as well. So anything that makes you intoxicated. Whilst all of these drugs make you feel better, maybe for the first sort of few sips or first glass, after you've drunk more, they tend to be depressants. And so clearly, if you carry on drinking, you're going to tend to feel worse.
So you feel these heightened levels of depression or anxiety. What do you do?
So I think the most important single thing is to be realistic about what's going to happen to you and to try and literally live in the moment a bit more. And when I say that, I mean try and experience what's going on around you. If you're lonely, go out for a walk, meet some people, ring up some old friends. Go and see the lights. Go to the mall and sort of look at what's happening around you, and literally try and taste and smell the sort of sights and sounds of Christmas. Listen to the Christmas music, and try and really focus on that. Maybe turn off your devices. Don't spend all your time on the phone or on the computer, and try and literally just sort of concentrate on what's happening around you at the time, and on how that makes you feel. And most of those things are really very positive. It's lovely to listen to Christmas music, but really focus on that. Don't just have it as a background.
How do you recognize the point at which it's not something that can be cured with a walk through the neighborhood, looking at the lights and sort of thing, and it might be time to call in a professional?
So I think if you have several weeks of significant symptoms where you really are not feeling yourself, particularly if you're, for instance, suicidal or you're wanting to harm yourself, you're feeling like life is not worth living, or you're stuck in the house because you're too frightened to go out and you're getting essentially agoraphobia. So those sorts of symptoms are clearly more serious than just the few hours of the blues. And in those settings, you should certainly go and see your primary care physician as the first port of call and talk to them about what's going on. They may well refer you to a mental health professional after that.
As I mentioned in the lead up, the holidays are often depicted as the classic Christmas song says, the most wonderful time of the year. When your mood doesn't match what all of the social signals are telling you, can that make things worse?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the contrast is very obvious. And in fact, we know that, for instance, people get more depressed when there's less light around. And we know that they get more depressed when everybody else is happy. So
there's a little seasonal affective disorder in there, too.
Absolutely. So the seasonal component is important. And so these are issues that actually can lead to a type of depression that really does need treatment.
Mm-hmm. We are speaking with UC Davis Health Chief Wellness Officer Dr. Peter Yellowlees on tips for beating the holiday blues. And I want to mention something before we wrap up. In addition to your research in this area, you've also you're an expert on physician health and have recently written a book on physician suicide. It examines the risk factors that account for higher rates of burnout, depression, and suicide risk among physicians compared with the general population. This may come as a surprise to some people that physicians suffer in this way.
Well, I think it is a surprise to many people, yes, because physicians spend their lives giving and consoling others and helping others. And yet we're trained not to show our own emotions, and certainly not to patients, and to always appear that we're on top of everything. But we know, in fact, that physicians actually suicide at a higher level than the average members of the general population, which is a complete tragedy. That physicians tend not to be very good at asking for help if they're feeling down. And we know also that physicians get burnt out much more than other professionals.
Say, is it the burnout that then leads to the depression? Because all the other factors seem like they would lead into being happy.
I think there's no doubt that burnout absolutely is a factor that can lead to some physicians becoming depressed. And burnout is primarily caused by organizational issues. It's mainly related to the way we have our health system and the really dysfunctional nature of our health system, the way that so many physicians have to spend so much time on paperwork and on the phone and just doing administrative work, which is really not why they went into medicine. They went into medicine to help people.
Right.
And the difficulty with today's health system in many respects is that physicians have had to have a lot of their time taken away from the people they want to care for.
Well, great information at this time of the year, and people can find more information online, of course. Dr. Peter Yellowlees is the Chief Wellness Officer at UC Davis Health. Thanks so much for sharing your knowledge with us today on this important topic during the holidays.
And thank you, Randall. Really appreciate being here.
We have more on our website at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Cap Radio. There's more coming up on Insight just ahead.